because I'm going to start recording an intro for the computer club. Hello, BB. You want to help me with the intro? I know you can't, because we lost electricity. You can't get into your class. I can't make a phone call. It's nuts. What class are you supposed to be in?
Emprendimientos.
Something. A tongue bumped with the Wi-Fi.
No, the power went out.
The power went out.
Something went up, down, funk with the power. I mean,
what happened to the power?
We don't know.
Down, funk.
But you know what? It brought down Telcel, too. So I decided to record the intro for the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson, your host.
And whipped in his back off.
And the unintelligible phrases for meme internet that you're hearing are coming out of my assistant, Bibiana Stimson. Say hi, Bibi.
Hi, Bibi.
That's totally her. And her big sibling, Emily. Say hi, Emily.
What is up? I need to be in chemistry.
Emily is here missing chemistry as we're recording the intro to 420, our last computer club meeting. It was from April 20th, 2021.
Yay. Blazing, that's what Emmy said.
That's what I should have titled it, right? The 420 episode, we're blazing.
Yeah!
But I didn't.
Oh my god.
I actually named the... I named the last episode. What did I name the last episode? I did Somebody's Watching Me, because it has a picture of that eye, that fake eye sitting on top of the lip of a computer. They made an eye, we talked about it last time in club, where it moves around, like it looks like an eyeball, it looks like flesh, it looks like an eyeball moving around, and it's a webcam watching you as you're using the computer.
Why?
It's really,
what in the world?
Creepy. So I named the episode Somebody's Watching Me.
Yeah, bro, frick.
Hey, it looks like Wi-Fi's back. Do you have internet yet?
Yeah.
BB's got internet? BB's back, baby, and so are you. It's time for chemistry, and that's all we have time for. This has been Scott Stimson, your host.
I am Emily Stimson, the favorite child.
And this is... Come on.
I'm school!
Right, but start with, I'm Bibiana Stimson.
I'm Bibiana, and I need to go to class.
All right, and that's it for the San Carlos Computer Club. Talk to you guys next week. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's got some good lists on it, and I thought that... In a place you kept
secret, so I'd rather not. Very cool. Most popular book clubs, books of 2020. So is this directing you towards book clubs as well as a list of recommended reading?
Well, you can see there that you can sign up, Members Corner, that you can find reviews and everything. You can keep track of your reading list. I have one member of our club that is very active on Book Browse, and she often gets us things, but the rest of us haven't paid for subscriptions. We just kind of browse it.
Wait, are you saying that Book Browse would allow you to have a book club where the members didn't have to own the material?
No, it's not that. It basically has reviews and ideas and discussions,
okay.
But it's not a buying place.
Similar to Goodreads, maybe.
Yeah, it is. Goodreads is the other one that we've started with, and it's got some good lists and stuff.
No, I use Goodreads.
Are you on that, Judy? Because I've just signed up.
I just look at it. I don't participate.
I'm the same way. I don't participate. In fact, when people in the club have made recommendations for books, I go to Goodreads to get a synopsis,
right. Mm-hmm.
and point people in the direction of where to find the book.
Yeah.
And I find Goodreads is really good for that.
We usually look up the things that other people have said after we've already read them and discussed them. So
Scott, right now it's 50 and 54.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's what I would expect. Wait, 54 going out? I never get 54 going out. I get 10 to 12 going out.
Wow.
And going out is what I care about. I've mentioned it to Juan a couple of times. He hasn't given me a really decent answer for why it would have changed. When I first signed up, it was...
It was very weird that my iPad all of a sudden stopped sending anything and downloading anything, or but my laptop was fine. So I ended up having to reboot my iPad, and it's becoming a weekly thing.
Huh. I wonder if that's power management. Do you try using it with a power cord plugged in?
Sometimes.
While you're having those issues, why don't you make sure it's plugged in just to verify that it's the same issue on battery as it is plugged into power?
Oh, okay. I'll try that.
You know, some devices, whether it's the iPad or not, but most devices these days will change the way it performs based on how much power it can get.
But I have that turned off.
Still, I would verify that it's the same problem. It could be that there's little control you have over it. Like, for example, there was this famous Apple MacBook Pro issue where you could get connected in your home, disconnect the power cord, go out to the balcony, and you're on the internet, everything's working fine. You look away and sip a cup of coffee and chat, and then you go back to the computer and it's disconnected itself. And then it won't find the Wi-Fi network because it's too far away. It won't power up its Wi-Fi. Mm. Whereas if you brought the power cable out and plugged it in, then it would crank up the Wi-Fi, because the only reason it cranked it down was to save electricity.
Huh, interesting.
And there
my iPad is always plugged in. It doesn't go anywhere. It acts more like a desktop.
But when you pull it off the power plug, then it may be changing its power profile.
I'll have to check that. So that's a good idea.
And honestly, I only reemphasize it because in the MacBook example, there was no way to change those settings.
Oh, okay.
They no matter what they did for your power profile, you couldn't just say leave the Wi-Fi at the strongest setting. There was nothing made for that.
I've had another kind of an issue with my iPad, I was reading. Normally, I read on my Nook, but I decided I was going to read on my iPad, and I launched the book through the Nook app. Well, now that's the only way that any of the books they're in a file.
Okay.
And that's the only way they open, and I can find no way to change how they open.
So how were you opening them before?
iBooks.
And now that you've installed the Nook app?
The Nook app has always been installed.
You just started using it. Okay.
So I've gone through all the forums and everything, and I didn't uninstall the Nook app, which...
Yeah, I think that would be the next thing I'd do is uninstall the Nook app and see if you can get that functionality back. Bill, is that Alexa saying it's time for Computer Club?
She did. I restricted her to just her announcement in 5 seconds of Star Wars.
Well, she's disappointed with you then. We always need more Star Wars.
That's kind of like more cowbell or something.
That's right. That's exactly what that is, Mom. That's an awesome reference.
Oh, I'm so glad I tuned in.
That's what I'm saying. When I say more Star Wars, I mean more cowbell.
Yeah, more cowbell.
Sam Rainwater referenced that the other day. He had a little video of him and Omar, and Sam was playing the kazoo. And he says, unlike more cowbells, more kazoo isn't necessary.
Did he leave it at that? Did he leave it at that, or did he say what didn't necessarily make it better?
I can't exactly remember the quote, but it was close. I got the reference. I was quite proud of myself. Cheryl, otherwise, probably didn't get the reference.
I did.
Well, have you seen that? You seen that clip, Cheryl?
Yeah.
That Christopher Walken. That's who did it.
Yeah.
Well, Walken and
like the Blues Brothers, or Who Willis. Is it? God, it's been forever since I've seen it.
Oh, he's one of the actors.
Bruce Willis?
No, not Bruce Willis. Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Oh, Will Ferrell. Oh.
He's the one that had the cowbell.
Huh. Now I got to go look for it.
Oh, I thought it was the other guy.
Oh, look at this. If you type into Google cowbell,
yeah,
the second suggested search is Saturday Night Live.
You betcha. Yeah.
Look at that. Cowbell sound. The second one, SNL. That's how popular that is. Oh, and there's Will Ferrell right there.
With his little muffin top. Check the muffin top on him. Here we go. Warm up.
I'm not streaming on YouTube, so they're not going to shut me down.
Assembled in the recording studio in late 1976 for a session with famed producer Bruce Dickinson. And luckily for us, the cameras were rolling.
All right, guys, I think we're ready to lay this first track down. By the way, my name is Bruce Dickinson. Yes, the Bruce Dickinson. And I got to tell you, fellas, you have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
Coming from you, Bruce, that means a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you're Bruce Dickinson.
This is incredible.
I can't believe Bruce Dickinson digs our sound.
Easy, guys. I put my pants on, just like the rest of you, one leg at a time. Except once my pants are on, I make gold records. All right, here we go. Don't fear the Reaper. Take one, roll it.
All right. One, two, three, four.
Could you come in here for a second, please? That was going to be a great track. Guys, what's the deal?
Are you sure that was sounding okay?
I'll be honest, fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell. So, let's take it again. And Gene.
Yeah.
Really explore the studio space this time.
You got it, Bruce.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
Explore the space. Okay. I like what I'm hearing. Roll it.
One, two, three, four.
Wasn't he hitting the cowbell like every 2 seconds?
Yeah.
One last a second. I forgot that.
He is working that cowbell.
I'm sorry, could you come back in there, please?
Fellas.
It probably has a few dents in it.
We just wasted two good tracks. This last one was even better than the first.
Well, it's just that I find Gene's cowbell playing distracted. I don't know. If I'm the only one, I'll shut up.
No, it's pretty rough.
You know, I can pull it back a little if you like.
Not too much, though. I'm telling you, fellas, you're going to want that cowbell on the track.
You know what? It's fine. Let's just do the thing.
Okay, roll it.
One, two, three, four.
It doesn't work.
Blow the space.
I gotta have more cowbell.
Don't blow this forest.
Uh-oh. What's going on? Oh, no. Something.
This morning. As it usually.
Can you guys hear me okay? I seem to have lost my connection.
The alarm. Leaves.
Frozen or something.
Oh, weird. Yeah.
Could be so selfish, Gene. Can I just say one
thing? Too much cowbell.
You just say it.
Too much the video. Cowbell.
Stand here staring at rock legend Bruce Dickinson.
The cock and a walk, baby.
I'll link to the rest of it. That's cool, though. I don't know. I've got something failing on my end, and it froze up the whole system. You guys are, I think, move a little bit. No, you guys aren't moving.
Nope.
Nobody's moving.
You're moving.
Oh, you can see me. Okay. Oh, now I see you, Bill. Something is...
That was a while ago.
Well, you know, like I told you earlier, Bill, I recabled everything to make it better, and now it doesn't work.
You know what? We had this strange thing happen about a month ago. This man had the wrong number, and he kept phoning. And I kept telling him that person is not here. Well, anyways, his name shows up on the call display, and Bill realizes that he basically grew up with this guy. And so he keeps phoning, and we really do not need to talk to him, but he'll get the message and know he dialed the wrong number. It's one digit off of somebody he knows.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's...
Well, it's my fault because I thought of him this morning and said, geez, we haven't heard from Zubat for a while, so it's my fault.
You know, for years, the Bed and Breakfast has fielded calls for a fumigation company down in the States because the 800 number is just one digit off. And that wouldn't be so bad, except they're a lousy fumigation company. That is,
so you guys get the complaints.
Yeah, so we're constantly getting these phone calls that start out with people screaming at us. I say, wait, you've called the wrong number. Called the number. I get messages. They don't even listen to the greeting, and they'll leave a message saying, you guys were here last week, and blah, blah, blah. Something didn't work. Something, it's just complaining about people's work, how much they've been overcharged. In fact, we've had so many bad calls about it that I've thought in the past that it was some kind of scam. Am I still coming through okay? Boy, I hope my computer doesn't. Everything in this case, it was totally my computer.
We're not having very many people, Scott. I noticed the first. Okay, I got my two emails this morning.
Yes, I apologize. Last week, I was so out of it. I thought I had sent out the email. I schedule it ahead of time so that it'll go out at 9:15. And unfortunately, I left it in the draft folder. I didn't schedule it. And so it didn't go out last week.
The one that came today, the one that comes from the San Carlos Computer Club, and it said new post on, and its link is only, it's not active to the Google Meet. It takes me to the website. And then I have to find it. The other one that you send, the second it comes from the San Carlos Computer Club, but it doesn't take you to it. And it's got a link that works pretty good. But I had to ask to join today.
Yeah, that's odd. I think Bill did too. And I had to ask for Bill to give me back control of the meeting.
So I hope there's not people out there trying to get in is my point.
Well,
I just asked every time to join and be let in.
Yeah.
Well, if you go into your Google Calendar, you should see, and you should be signed into your Google services when you're trying to get into the meet. Mm-hmm. And if you go into your calendar, there should be an entry for this particular meet. And if you look at the details, you should have accepted that calendar entry. So these are things that I would check if it's acting peculiar.
We're back though to I get like four notices for Computer Club. I get like three emails and then my calendar notifications. So,
Judy, I don't know your situation.
You don't want me to forget.
Is that it?
And you're more consistently here. So there you go. Maybe it's a good thing.
You know what it is it's just a sign of automation failing. Because you'd think that if it was really smart, it would know that Judy is signed in every time and doesn't need the kind of reminder that comes along with scheduled indicators. I'm trying to get into
By the way, I will be leaving again in 15 minutes. I'll be off. The dog has a vet appointment again today at 10:30. So.
Wow. I hope he's okay.
Oh, he's fine. It's his shots.
Oh, okay.
Just his shots.
I'm bringing up the calendar right now. this is the Google Calendar, and you should have an entry on it that looks like the San Carlos Computer Club. Down at the bottom of this entry, it should say whether you're going or not. And my details show that I've got 7 yeses, 2 noes, and 26 awaiting. And I see Cheryl, Chester, myself, Jim, Judy. These are all authorized to be in the meeting. Like, they've checked that they're going to the meeting. So I would expect them to be able to get in without a question. But then Bill's account is in question. This is the most thought I've given this. Cheryl, you shouldn't have. Cheryl, did I have to let you in, or did you get in on your own? I don't remember. Just now.
Said ask to join.
Yeah, it did, and I had to
ask.
You were waiting for me to let you in.
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
If I'm reading this right, it shows that you're coming. And so I would suspect that's supposed to indicate that you're going to get in without me having to authorize you. And then, like, Bill's doesn't say, like, I had to let Bill in this morning, and it's on his calendar. I don't think he has it marked that he's going.
Well, you see, I don't often go into my Google Calendar. I use my iPhone one instead.
Right, of course. But I couldn't guarantee that these kinds of functions would work correctly in any other calendar except Google. So if we're trying to sort out why this stuff isn't happening correctly or it's duplicating itself, I would go into the Google Calendar specifically for that activity, for trying to sort out what's acting goofy.
However, I did not accept it, but it already shows that I did. I never physically pushed accept, maybe decline.
Well, maybe you did originally, because I think you only have to do it one time. I don't think you have to do it every week.
Oh, that's probably true.
Yeah.
I probably do it one time.
And I think you can change the status right here at what I'm showing you on the screen. Down here at the bottom, you could switch to no.
Right.
Right, and change your status. But right now, all these other members are just in question whether they're going or not.
Hmm.
And because it's a reoccurring meeting, I think that's why the status is up for grabs.
Here comes Maggie. It's
good
really
morning,
a
Maggie.
Meeting this week.
It's the San Carlos Computer Girls Club.
Yes.
Okay.
Maggie, can you hear us? You're muted right now. We have started, actually. It's 10 o'clock. I should hit this button over here.
11:02 here.
Yeah, we're a couple minutes behind. We were just talking about the calendar. This is Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. Here with the San Carlos Computer Club, where we meet each Tuesday at 10 to talk about tech topics and share our positions in the world. Very happy to see all your smiling faces, because I was not happy last week. But again, special thanks to Bill and Cheryl for taking over the meeting last week. Somebody has to do it, and they did a great job.
Okay, I didn't refer to it as takeover. Billy did, and that goes on. But I said
you didn't have to try and get the meeting back from him.
I said we were guest hosts.
I agree. You were guest hosts.
When I used to substitute teach, we called ourselves guest teachers.
All right. Well, I watched you last week after I was fully conscious and thought you guys did a great job. I followed up with some stuff with some links. I stuck it on the blog post. So I really liked, I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I liked Bill's choir recommendation. I think that would be fun to just try out sometime. I've got some friends that are in bands back home, and they might be interested in stuff like that. And I also put a link to the My Alberta you guys were talking about last week, how you were finding your, I think it was health and ID status stuff there in Canada. And so I put a link to the FAQ there if some of our Canadian people were interested in more information about that. There's a link on our blog post that'll just go straight to the FAQ.
Yeah, that's My Digital ID.
That's right. My Digital ID.
And it's only our province, and nobody else in the computer club is from our province. They're from British Columbia instead of Alberta. But.
Well, maybe they can use that information to complain to their province about what they don't have access to.
Well, they do have something with blood work, but I think it's only in specific situations or something. But yeah.
Good morning, Maggie. We're just getting started. Well, like always, we are agendaless. I did bring some of my own topics that I thought would be interesting, as well as some recommendations. But as always, I'd like to hear from you guys. Is there anything that's burning desire of question to get answered or information to share? Fred, you have anything this week that we would be interested in? Having problems?
Well, this week I've been on the road, so I haven't been able to catch up with my email. Matter of fact, I'm almost a week and a half behind.
Well, have you watched anything good?
No, not really.
Have you watched anything bad? It's okay. You can say, of course I have. We've all been
all kinds
living the COVID lifestyle, and I'm sure you're surfing bad TV.
Let's see. Have I gotten Miss Scarlet and the Duke on your watch list?
Maybe, but I'll add it again. Well, what I haven't come up with is a good organization on the website for recommendations people have made. It would be really nice to be able to go to some page that was just a list of our recommendations. Even if there was like a tally of how many times it got recommended or people voting them up or down. I just haven't come up with a way to do it yet. So what was it? Charlotte, Miss Scarlet and the Duke?
Miss Scarlet and the Duke. And it's on PBS.
And you did actually tell us about that one. We just don't, I just don't get it down here on PBS.
It's late 1800s and a woman wants to become a private detective and the Duke is a member of the police force, and it's the two of them working together. It's only about, I think it's 6 episodes long, but it was fun.
Well, I will add it to today's list.
In the same kind of vein, I have one that I watched. It was a movie on Netflix, A Call to Spy, and it's...
Say that again?
A Call to Spy.
A Call to Spy.
And it's female spies that were recruited and sent to Nazi Germany, well, Poland, France. Basically, France is the big one. And it was quite good. The one woman, it's historically based, and she was the first Muslim officer to serve in the British intelligence. Yeah.
Cool. Is it relatively new?
I don't know. It's on Netflix. Oh, it's one of those trending in Canada now things. So I think it might be new. The other series that I watched, it was a short series too, Who Killed Sarah?
Okay.
On Netflix. Who Killed Sarah was a story of some young people and a cartel family. So it's Mexican, and but it's more U.S.
Well, I watched a bit about it. It's kind of like a U.S.'s perception of what a Mexican cartel family would behave as, maybe. The series starts with her accidental death, and then I've only gotten, I think, 2 episodes into it, but it's all about, well, it wasn't an accident. Did you watch the whole season?
I did. And the thing is that the one guy is just being released from prison because he was the one that took the fall.
That's right. Yeah.
For his sister's death, and he didn't cause it. So it's all about finding out, you know, who did, and truths about family. And yeah, it's pretty good.
He gets out of prison like 18 years later. And so it's like 18 years of revealing secrets and history that's happened while he's been in jail falsely imprisoned for the death of his sister.
And there's human trafficking.
Is this a true, based on true story?
I don't know, because human trafficking is a big issue in it, and the kind of underground, actually underneath the casino in the basement, they're basically running a modern-day whorehouse, but it's the way they get the girls for it is what the human trafficking comes in. But, it's very timely and topical. I don't know if it's based on a true.
Yeah, I got the impression from what little I watched, it's fairly sensationalized.
I watched a very dark one called the...
Oh, Maggie, I'm sorry. I think you're cutting out, or you're cutting out for me. I can't hear you.
I watched a really dark one called The Serpent.
The Serpent. Is that a movie?
I'm having problems. I don't know why.
It's very delayed.
Okay, I watched one called, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we're hearing you now.
Anymore.
The Serpent, okay.
This is very dark. It's really good. It's hard to stop watching it. It's very dark. It's a true story about a thief turned killer in Asia in the 70s, preying on what Rick used to call trust fund hippies. People that were backpacking through Asia and didn't have a lot of money on them, but were carrying things like gems and valuables that they didn't really know the value of. And anyway, it's very good.
And
especially, he's a very manipulative, clever murderer.
This is a series?
Yes, just one season.
On Netflix. Oh, yes. Wow. A lot of people like this show. 91% in Google TV.
It's hard to stop watching it, and you just want him.
Okay,
You just want him to get caught.
That sounds like a good recommendation. Well,
yeah, we've been looking at that. It looks good. I have kind of I don't know about the ladies. Maybe they are like me too, a little weird in the sense of what they like to watch. A lot of things, but for some reason, I stumbled on The History of Tanks. It's a series, and it's really, I found it fascinating, starting out with the very first tanks, which come out in World War I. And I'm particularly interested in that because my grandfather was up, he was an infantryman, and he was up where No Man's Land was fighting. And so the few stories that I have heard, has kept me curious about that period. So this History of Tanks starts from how they first think about creating them, and you get to really see not only the drawings, but then how the men's, you know, were put in there and the problems and on and on and on. And it goes up to through current times, and you watch the progression of the tanks and the thinking process. And for me, I just find that really fascinating. Of course, I would never be a tank person in terms of my own fighting ability. I'd probably be the one that would be, you know, going the other way. I hope not. It just was a real awful time. But anyway, I found that interesting. You might.
Yeah, it sounds like what they're doing is engineers solving problems, learning from their mistakes and growing and building off of them. I could see you finding that fascinating.
And of course, the British were the first to perfect a tank that was used in World War I. Even though the other countries were playing with it, it was the British that came out with it. So you have to, you know, give a hands up. Those Brits really were working hard. And Cheryl, the one you were talking about, the women going in to be Ice Spy, I think it was called. There are some other series about that. One is called Churchill's Secret Army, and it was how he developed the spy system. And then there's Dark Waters. What's that one in Norway about going in and the Norwegians were developing the dark water. The Germans were forcing them to develop this water that could be used for making the hydrogen bombs.
Heavy water, is that right?
Say again?
Heavy water?
Heavy Water, that may be it. That is really good and shows off the British ability to train people and what those people were able to do. Of course, they're training them from around the world. There are volunteers coming in that want to help.
Heavy Water. It's a great movie. Yeah.
And then there's another series that in England that I found interesting, and it was about taking Churchill's secret army plans that they had, that they made up. And they bring in, they're wondering, could modern day British kids, young people, could they survive this? Could they go through this school, learn those skills as fast as the old, the, you know, original ones did, and be ready to go be spies? This was just strictly watching them go through it all and learning what was set up ahead of them. And it was not an easy task. They had people in there, I think, in their late 40s all the way down to early 20s trying to go through this program. So I don't know. You know, I've had a lot of sitting time between my ankle and a few other things. I just found this kind of stuff really interesting. Maybe because it's historic.
Mom, those are some great recommendations. I think you just filled out our whole day of recommendations.
Well, good for me. You'll turn it on and say, oh, this is, yeah. I don't want to watch this now. Sandy was wrong, but oh, well.
The Churchill's Secret Army, was that a series?
Yes, all of these are series that I'm telling you about.
I think
Heavy Water is a movie.
No, I don't think. Is it a movie? I thought we watched it in a series format.
Let me double check. Heavy Water traces lineage back to... Here, I'll open up the Wikipedia page. Or maybe I won't. It's not a Wikipedia. Google has together from all other sources. I'll go to Just Watch.
While he's doing that, so a Churchill Secret Army, and then the one where you said they were training, was that still part of that series?
No, it wasn't, and I'm sorry, I cannot tell you the name of it, but I suspect if you look around that Churchill Secret Army, you know, the things that pop up, it might come up. I think I found it accidentally by just going into Netflix and going to, you know, historical or war stories or something like that. I'm sure it wasn't a top seller on TV.
A lot of times you might find it by looking under more like this.
Or since you liked this under or since
Churchill's
you
watched
that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're talking about the history of tanks, my dad, who was British, was a heavy-duty mechanic, and then he became production manager in a track vehicle production company in Calgary, and I worked there for summers and different things too. But he made the tracks that would go on the buses to do tours of the glaciers and things like that. But he also was working on stuff to go to Russia to work in northern Russia. And that's how my dad ended up going over to Russia for a week.
Oh.
And
okay.
So the history of tanks and the production of them, I worked in, you know, on the floor and did different things with my dad in regards to those big equipment. And it was pretty cool.
Going, I bet you will enjoy that series then.
Yeah.
Going back to Heavy Water, it is a series. It's a Norwegian drama, right?
Most of it happens there.
Yeah, the Nazis attempt to create an atomic bomb during World War II. German scientist leads the secret project in Norway. I think that this is the right one. 2015, and it's called The Heavy Water War.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah. It's for those of you who like to ski, there's some really good cross-country skiing going on there too as well. So, and there's been some other movies come out recently about that situation and then about the men who did that situation. So there was one series where the guy goes back to look at the situations that military were in and especially the Allies were in that were so life-threatening and they were maybe captive or they were hiding somewhere, and how they got out was beyond what anyone thought a person, a human, can do. I can't remember the name of that either, but he traced the route that these Norwegians that went in to take care of the heavy water had to take to get out of there. And you can see it was not an easy task. And yet I think they all survived.
I just sent a message to James, James and Carolyn in BC. Like, James is usually on here, but anyways, Carolyn's brother lives in Norway. And so I think he would find this really interesting, and he probably knows a lot about this because James worked in a couple of BC, what do you call them, like museums, only they're reenactments of history and things like that. He's got a lot of really neat stories.
Well, fabulous. Well, I'm glad that we have like minds.
So Churchill's Secret Army is also a TV series, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Hey, and you guys, somebody recommended last week a show I was going to recommend as well, so they stole my thunder. But I wanted to re-mention it. Schitzel, if you guys have not watched this Orthodox Jewish drama from Israel, it is so dry and witty. It's so entertaining. What I've appreciated about, you have to read subtitles, but you don't mind. It's just very funny. What I've appreciated is how easily I can come and go from it. Yuya has just binged the whole thing, and I've been doing my own thing, but I'll come in and I'll watch an episode or two and only need a couple of hooks to catch up with what the background dramedy is that's going on. These are those Orthodox Jews. I'm forgetting the terminology for them, with the black hats and the curls down their cheeks and the long beards, a very religious, secular order. And their family interactions and the things that happen to them, the businesses they run. Fred, were you going to say something?
Thetica Jews, I think it is, or something very similar.
Thetica Jews? Well,
aesthetic.
And the other thing I was going to mention was The Heroes of Telemark, if they're into Norway.
What?
Say that again?
The Heroes of Telemark.
Oh, that's a show?
The Heroes of Telemark. Yeah, that's a movie.
A movie.
The Heroes of Telemark. Is Telemark making reference to down to the skiing style?
No, it's about the Norwegians during World War II and the heavy water production.
It's another similar story to the Heavy Water Wars series, but it's a movie.
Yeah, and it's 1965.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Charlton Heston, I think, was that.
Oh, a must watch if you like him.
No, Kirk Douglas. I'm sorry, I was corrected.
Oh, that's better.
That's okay. I'll watch either one of those people. And I've gotten into watching some of these older movies, so I'm going to put that on my older movie list. I wanted to mention that Schitzel. It is, I just going back to that for a moment. What has been really humorous in it is there's a lot of relationship stuff going on. And the relationship stuff is so dry, no touching, no real outpouring of any kind of emotion, either physically or verbally. And they're able to create this tension between male and female characters that it's just bizarre. You find yourself laughing out loud watching it. So it's an easy one to recommend. And I had another recommendation that's another sci-fi recommendation, which we've been just rolling, called Resident Alien. It's Alan Tunick. I don't know if you know him. He's well known. He's a well-known funny guy from all kinds of different sci-fi. The thing that's popping into my mind right now is the movie Firefly and the movie the TV series Firefly and the movie Serenity. But he's just done all kinds of stuff. He's one of these characters that he takes over the role. He reminds me of kind of a Robin Williams when he does a role. I think of him as being the genie in Aladdin or the toy master in Toys. I mean, this Alan Tunick is just so funny and so encompassing in whatever role he takes. Most recently, I think of him as being in the Doom Patrol TV show. He plays the main antagonist. But he's in this movie, in this TV show, playing an alien that fell to Earth, living in a small town. And he ends up in a situation where he has to become the town doctor. The way he portrays this foreign person in this human body is just, every moment he's on screen, you're ready to burst out loud. His facial expression, he has to learn to laugh correctly throughout this series. And so he's always trying his laugh on, but not intentionally. Like all of a sudden he got the joke and then he's supposed to laugh. And he's just got this ridiculous kind of, and each time it gets a little better because he's getting closer to doing it in a more human way, undertoned with his internal monologue. So you're always hearing him talk to himself as an alien. And his mission was to destroy every human on Earth. So you're in this kind of campy comedy of errors where in the background he keeps referring to how he's going to wipe everyone out. So he's in a bar scene doing shots and he comes off as a real nerd because he's not comfortable within his own skin. He doesn't know how to dance. He doesn't know how to drink. He doesn't know how to be so – doesn't follow social cues. Almost an autistic kind of person. In fact, you get a lot of the characters around him giving him some leeway because he must have some kind of autistic characteristics about him. But his internal monologue is, it'll all make sense when I wipe out millions of people. Resident Alien.
Okay, Resident Alien. And did you say movie or series?
It's a TV series. It's the first season. Alan Tunick is the protagonist. I think it's being done on the Sci-Fi Channel right now.
Has anyone watched Radioactive?
Not yet. It's on my list, though.
It's on my list, too. I haven't started it yet. Maybe tonight.
Yeah.
That is a series?
That's a movie on Netflix, I think, that is about Mary Carey.
Yes, it is. It's
That's really good. Well, of course, you know, anything's really good at this point. Anything holds your attention.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
it's a movie.
So, Mom, movie. You thought it was well done?
Yes, I did. The actress, the main actress, is particularly good. She's kind of, to me, she's new on the scene, although she has done several movies over the last recent years. She's not a household name yet, but she's very good.
I don't remember who's supposed to be in that, but
See what I mean? She's not quite household yet.
Oh, here comes Jim.
Rosalind Pike.
Yes.
Rosamund.
Yes. She did a Western recently that was very good. The first time I really paid attention to her, but of course I can't remember the name. Sorry.
Well, I see both the Jims have joined us. Welcome. And Caroline, welcome. I hope people got notifications this morning. I'm sorry about last week.
Do you have Ray Mahoney on your list?
I think I do. I can check real quick because I definitely is my intention to have her on my list. I talked to some folks that used to meet with us in real life, and they're just not interested in trying to do it this way. And that's fine. I mean, I encourage them. I said, look, you can tune in. You can, like, Jim's with us right now. I know he has no microphone or camera, but he's with us. Welcome, Jim. You don't have to be on camera.
Well,
and you don't.
Was,
I'm sorry. Say again.
I was wondering about.
Hey,
Ed,
there's Jim saying hi,
and,
all.
I was wondering about Ed Hudson, and also about Big Mike. Or, sorry, I call him Big Mike, but Mike Miller.
Yeah, yeah. I think
they said no way. I know that Gary Sampson said no. He wasn't not interested.
Yeah, Gary's retreated from tech. He's gotten farther and farther away from it. I talk to him occasionally, and yeah. I'm looking at the list right now. No, I don't see.
Did somebody want Ray Mahoney?
Yeah, somebody should send me her contact because I don't see it in my list here.
Here, I'm holding up the card.
I'll send it to you.
It's backwards. Yeah, okay. I'll give you her telephone number.
Yeah, but let's do it offline. Let's do it when we're not streaming. I don't want to dox anybody. In fact, when we're doing it like this, you can just assume we're live on the internet. So please be, there are things that are real you may not want to share online. So keep that in mind.
Sorry about that. Lori Ray.
We were talking to Jim Cunningham the other day. He was looking for the Cody episode.
Oh, yes.
And when I went to find it for him, to give him the link to the YouTube, it had that warning on it, you know, adult content and you have to approve it and verify that you are over 21, I think it says, that you are okay with adult content.
Did I tell you I appealed it and they rejected the appeal?
Yeah. Did you ever hear?
Yeah, they rejected it. They stand by it. I don't know. I haven't gone back to watch the whole thing. Was somebody walking around naked in the? They won't give me any details either. I asked specifically in the appeal to point out the points in the video that make it age restricted, and I will modify them because I want it to be a general audience. I mean, I wrote all that in the appeal, and they wrote me back a robot letter saying that we stand by our original ruling and gave me no details on how to make a change to it. And I'm tempted. I mean, I've heard stories across the internet from YouTube producers that you get punished and you don't know why. And so I'm not interested in doing it because I just want the access for the small group of people of us that want access to this stuff. I mean, there isn't more than 30 people that are interested in anything we're doing. And so I would hate for them to ban me at any moment. But I am tempted to pull the video down and reload it and see if it gets the same response.
Hmm. What video is that? I missed what you were saying.
The one where Bill took off his pants.
Oh, no. Bill, shame on
him. No, we did a video a few weeks back that outlined how to use Kodi to watch TV and movies.
Oh, right.
And for some reason, they've made this arbitrary decision that it's age related. It's age restricted. Truthfully, it's gotten more. Say that again, Mom.
It's what was Vivi doing in the background?
Yeah, right. I mean, we're all like looking down. What was I wearing? But it's all right, you know, because truthfully, it's one of the videos that has the most views.
That's probably why.
I don't know if that was their intention or not, but thank you, YouTube, for making us more interesting.
Well, the reason Jim wanted to look at Jim Cunningham wanted to look at Kodi was because they're actually on the road, and Linda wanted to watch all of the Oscar nominee movies that she could get a hold of.
Oh yeah,
before the Oscars thing. So. Anyways, we convinced him to go with Streamio instead.
Yeah, Streamio is really easy to use, and Kodi's much more, well, you saw, it's much more complicated to get set up just to do something simple like that. But at the same time, though, Kodi is a platform, and maybe there's an Oscars, actually, now that I say that, Streamio has a framework that allows developers to make specific plugins. Maybe you can find an Oscar plugin for Streamio. You might be able to search through the community add-ons and find one that was built specifically to pull the metadata from each of the Oscar-nominated movies. And I'm certain that there's a Kodi plugin out there somewhere that does that. It seems like a natural fit for those kinds of platforms. Yeah, I think it really was YouTube going, you're not doing this right. You're talking about the wrong stuff. I think it was their way of, I think that was the most punishment I could get in for sharing those secrets.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
I mean, not that they're secret. Yeah. I, Most of everything on that topic I've learned from YouTube videos that were not restricted in any way, shape, or form. So I don't know what was special about what I was doing.
Would it have to do with the brand name? You were using a brand name?
No, not necessarily. I mean, Kodi is an open source media project. And so by definition, it's a group. It's not one particular outfit. It's an outfit made up of a hodgepodge of developers that have come together to work in the same software. But their developers are not centralized. They're all over the world in a classic open source type project.
I see.
But it is a good video if you're interested in using. Yeah, I just pulled up. It's got 30 views. That's almost 10 times more than any other of my videos. Nobody cares.
Well,
it's all for posterity. What's that?
All right. Banned in Boston. It's good for a book.
That's it. So it is a good video, though, if you're looking at trying out Kodi. And the way I approach Kodi is single purpose, because it is such a large platform of various combinations of configurations and add-ons. I really look at it. I think it's easier to digest as a single purpose thing. So there's something like, I think the Oscars would be an interesting way to do it. You know, Google Kodi Oscar plugins and see what pops up as a recommendation to watch Oscar nominated movies, and then go after installing that one plugin and using that one plugin. I've gotten through my recommendations. Does anyone else have anything to add to our list before I call it good? I think that this is a large list. Thank you all. And I will stick them on the blog post from today's meeting, as I do. What I try and do is grab a synopsis from Wikipedia, and I link it to Just Watch, so it can help you find where to stream it from a service online. I have brought some topics.
So James wasn't here, but...
Oh, go ahead, Cheryl.
Sorry, James wasn't on when we were talking about it, and Sandy was telling us about a couple that were Norway-related.
Oh, yes.
So I thought of you guys.
I have a brother-in-law that lives in Norway.
We were talking about...
These had to do with the nuclear...
You want me to go? Okay. We were talking about something I was watching about the history of tanks, and starting with World War One, and that led to our talking about heavy water because of Churchill's Secret Army, and that led me to remember I watched something called Churchill's Secret Army, and they're all series that relate to the spies that were sent behind the lines and how the English trained them, or how Churchill's Secret Army was formed and trained.
Yeah, so we just watched the last one last night.
All right.
Of the
did
tanks?
Did you find that as fascinating as I did, I wonder?
Yeah, it was very interesting. It was they took modern people and put them through the training for World War II underground workers, and then they were would have been prepared to go and drop them into France, is what they were. They had, you know, they got their secret identities and put sort of regular people in boot camp kind of situations, you know, letting them sleep in a haystack overnight and things like that, you know.
They used the actual, I mean, they had actual clothing, they had the instruments, they had to learn to parachute because they were, these spies were parachuted in overnight. And you can imagine how dangerous that was for the plane and the parachuters. These people and their drive to correct things, I guess, to do right, are really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even
the volunteers. Risk what they have.
Yeah. Well, even the volunteers that decided, you know, that they were saying, can modern people, could they survive this and be ready to do the same thing? And I don't know that they proved that very well. Do you feel that way with that particular...
Well, I think that one of the things was that they went from, I think, 16 to 6 volunteers, and so they weeded 10 people out of the crowd as they went along. Some of them said, this is not for me. But I think it's like, you know, SEAL training or something like that. You know, there's a lot of people go in, but there's only very few come out the other end that are actually ready for it physically, emotionally, and mentally.
And then when you see the statistics of those that survived,
20% survival.
Wow.
Yeah, very few. 20%
survival. Yeah, that's right. Because they kept going until they got caught, basically, is what they all did.
Which one of these are we talking about?
This is Churchill's Secret Army, I think, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yes, it's worth it.
The one that I started with was just a movie on Netflix, and it's called A Call to Spy. And it's just four girls and the woman that recruited them. And, only one of them survives.
Certainly not for everyone. Trying to sort of hide in plain sight is a great concept, I think. Bill, you and I wouldn't work.
Well, outside of recommendations, we do have some topics. I don't know if you guys have brought some topics with you, but I've got a few here. Some of them were sent to me by you guys. Some of them I came up with on my own. One of the things I thought was interesting and easy to digest is a new kind of paint has been discovered, the whitest ever. Could help cool the earth, which is something we need right now with the climate crisis we have. This is actually a paint that reflects 98% of sunlight and radiates infrared heat into space. It's actually supposed to cool down substances up to 10 degrees below ambient temperature. So it actually will eliminate the need for some air conditioning. This has just been, they've been researching it. It's just been announced. They're going for a patent now. What they have done, there are three things that make this stuff work. One is they changed the chemical that they're using as a pigment. You know, we've had white paints for a while that'll drop temperatures. You're supposed to paint your roofs with them. The current technology is using this titanium dioxide, which apparently I was not an expert in this until about an hour ago when I was reading this. But titanium dioxide sucks UV radiation and actually heats up. And so there isn't the possibility of radiating that heat. It may radiate some heat, but the UV that's coming in actually ends up being absorbed and makes the substance generate some amount of heat. And so it's kind of defeating the purpose. It's actually in the equation. And so they've switched to something called barium sulfate, which doesn't absorb UV. It actually reflects it back into space because I guess very few things absorb UV and heat up. And so just by reflecting it back out into space means that it's leaving the planet, creating a cooling experience. Another thing that they've done differently is there's a high concentration of this pigment, like this chemical that they put in the paint is 60% of what the paint is. And that plays a real role in it. But the most interesting thing that they've done is they've fortified the particles of this substance in varying sizes. And that's very important. These little white particles in the paint at different sizes causes a variety of different refractions in the light and allows it to disperse away from the substance. So it allows UV to disappear and the light not to accommodate, to accumulate up to 98%. It has this, they refer to it as the brightest white ever. It's brighter than Snow White. So all that being said, I find that very interesting. I'll put a link to this. But what I thought you guys would appreciate is that this is going to be on the market in the next year to 2 years. It can be produced in the same way normal paint is produced right now. So it'll fit right into our paint infrastructure. And it will be priced similar to what these kinds of paints cost right now. So There isn't going to be some astronomical price for this. This is a technology that will be immediately within reach to be used. And there is this quote that I loved. Well, let's see what this is. The researchers say the paint could be on the market in 1 to 2 years, traditional means of production, similar pricing. Painting a roof of 1,000 square feet, basically 93 square meters, would give a cooling power of 10 kilowatts. That's more powerful than the central air conditioner used by most homes. So, I mean, what you're looking at is if you have a 1,000 square foot facility, just painting the roof would dissipate 10 kilowatts of heating energy. That's pretty impressive. Not quite painting solar panels, but what's that, Bill?
I said, well, that's pretty impressive if you live in Sonora and your main problem is heat, but our problem is heat in the summer and cold in the winter. So your house would be colder, take more power to heat it in the wintertime if you painted your roof white here.
Yeah, maybe. But is your roof already white with snow on it?
Oh, the snow doesn't last very long.
No. And how is daylight in your area? Like in Anchorage, it just wouldn't matter because daylight in the winter goes down to 4 to 5 hours.
Well, we're probably at the very shortest day is 6 hours maybe of some sunlight, you know, like maybe 2-3 hours of it overhead. But in the summer, we are, 14, 15 hours of sunlight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Anyway.
So. Yeah, but maybe it would be marginal differences on either side in an area like that. You're definitely right about here in Sonora, Arizona. I mean, I could see you painting parking lots with this kind of paint.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Right.
You could actually walk on them.
Yeah, you could walk on them, but if it's going to dissipate 10 kilowatts of heating, of thermal energy for every 1,000 square feet, you could immediately start turning roadways into cooling systems.
Well, that'd be pretty exciting to have white roads.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, all your indicators would have to be in a different color, right? Like your
black lines.
Black lines. That's right. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, I don't think that's coming this week anyway.
No, but it's a very promising technology. It's very cool. Mm-hmm. Another thing that did you send this to me? This is nuts. This webcam project where it looks like an eyeball.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my gosh. It's really creepy. The idea is this. It's some research project. There it is right there, made to look like an eyeball. It's to give you, I don't know, the psychological interactions of something watching you while you're on the internet. Can you guys see that thing? That's creepy.
Creepy is right.
how'd you like to be watching some creepy movie and at night, this thing looking at you blinking once in a while,
right? It's just looking down at you as you're watching porn. It's like, yeah, right, that's what you're doing. Looking you up and down like, yeah, you're disgusting.
I don't know. I just thought it was just absolutely amazing what people will spend their time inventing.
Well, yeah, and this is a study, right? They're studying the psychological implications of you being made very aware of your behavior being watched. It's definitely no fiction that your webcams can be intercepted and somebody's out there on the other end watching you through your webcam, whether you're aware of it or not. But it seems to be just as much art as it is research. They're not building this camera. You're not going to buy this camera and put it on your computer.
Yeah, it's I understood it to be a one-off. Like it's they made one.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd at least have two.
The goal of our project is not to develop a better design for cameras, but to spark a discussion. We want to draw attention to the fact that we are surrounded by sensing devices every day. That raises the question of how that affects us. So, yeah, a paper, a project, and a strange invention.
It might be really effective as your home security camera. If somebody got broke into your house and the eyeball starts wandering around watching you, you might be a little bit intimidated.
Oh, gosh. Put them on the Roomba so that, like, when there's a motion sensor at the door, the Roomba rolls out and starts blinking at them.
I'm on it already.
Hey, you know, on that note, somebody sent to me, maybe Richard sent it to me, this great Ars Technica article on home automation without subscription services. And I was thinking specifically of you, Bill.
There you go.
Because so many of our services right now, you get Ring doorbells and Ring cameras. You buy them. You buy the subscription service, but you also buy all the products in that line, like the Philips Hue bulbs, so that everything fits together. And then you manage them with a cloud service that could fail at any moment, and then your smart home doesn't work because you can't turn on the lights because you can't connect to the internet. And so this is a really beefy article. Talking about, the title is How to Achieve Smart Home Nirvana or Home Automation Without a Subscription. And it's using a piece of software called Home Assistant that will run on an Intel-based computer or a Raspberry Pi. In fact, they recommend the Raspberry Pi 4. And it would do all this monitoring and allow you to set up what they call our flows of activities, a flow being something like as the sun is going down, start raising the lights in the living room. Right? There would be a scheduled task that would be bad, that would be triggered based on what time it is. And there could be like this slowly rising of the lights as the sun's going down. And you could program that kind of thing that as a flow using this software and this interface. And these are activities that you would normally offload to a cloud service to take care of for you. This can all be done within your own home network. It is a lot. This isn't a casual read. This is a document to go back to as you're trying to achieve this bliss of not having to pay for a subscription service. And this software, Home Assistant, which I'm not familiar with, I'm going to start making myself much more familiar with, does have a subscription model. So it's kind of a little tongue-in-cheek, hypocritical, because they are trying to offer some services that are easier for them to do for you than for you to try and do on your own. But it is completely open source software, and it has what they call integrations. It has over 1,700 integrations in it. And what that means is being able to use different manufacturer light bulbs and doorbells and security cameras, sensors. Does anyone have anything on this topic they're interested in adding or asking a question? I'm not an expert at this at all. So I'm probably, if you have a specific question, it would be a Google search for me. But what is...
I know Bill's been working on some of this stuff. He's just busy in the kitchen for a minute. But our goal is so that he can have the virtual cameras, the lights, all the smart home stuff that we've set up, controllable from Mexico. So, he's working at setting up these things. He's got different ones. Like every time we buy a light bulb or a plug-in or like the Amazon Dots and things, they all have their own apps and the robot vacuum cleaner has its own thing. So he routinely is making different routines and
trying to bring them all together. Trying because there is this gray area between absolute bliss, all this stuff working together as one, and just being a remote control from your phone that is different for each manufacturer's device.
Yeah, so that's the networking thing. But the other thing I wanted to tell you about was one of the commands he uses to turn on the music, the lights over the pool table, to the heater that's down in the basement because it's been chilly down there. They all turn on at the same time with bar on. Only sometimes the Echo hears bark, and all it does is it's bark like a dog. So we have our security system of a dog barking. We don't own a dog, but it goes and he does swear at her a few times. But they eventually get what he either wants on or off.
That's rather handy too. I mean, the old security systems in the cities was to have a recording of a Doberman barking at the door when somebody knocks on it, so we could have our own barking Doberman in the house when somebody knocks on the door.
Hey, Jim, I just saw your recommendation here in the chat. I'll mention it in just a second. I just put a link to this article, Bill. I think you'd find it fascinating. It looks like a great project. I think I'm going to get Emily and myself to work on it. She's got a Raspberry Pi that we haven't done anything with. And so I'm going to encourage her to spend some time with me on this, putting together this this home assistant software. And
I haven't forgotten you either. If when we get down there, I'm going to have one of those monitoring plugins for you too, the one that monitors the power usage as well as being able to turn it off and on.
Oh, cool, that's awesome. Yeah, I think this kind of project in this, I stuck it in the chat. If you're interested in the article, I'll also put it in the blog post from today's meeting. But if you're looking for a way to bring all these things under one all-encompassing system, so you're not fidgeting with different apps for each one of these activities, this is looking like the way to do it. And this looks like a great reference point to start from. It's compatible with a whole slew of different manufacturers and can be integrated with all the digital assistants as well.
Well, guess it gives me a reason to buy some more stuff.
Yeah.
Great.
What else we got going on this week? Did you guys hear that in the States, Biden just announced everyone is eligible for a vaccine. They've got plenty. Everyone, no matter what age you are.
I thought it was 16 and up.
Well, all adults. Yeah, 16 and up. I guess that's not an adult.
I have an appointment for Friday afternoon.
Hopefully that means we're to the point to being able to share some of the vaccine that we now have stockpiled.
Pick us. We need more.
Yeah, both. I'm hoping it's. I hear them say Canada and Mexico, so I'm hoping that's first choice.
It would be an advantage to the United States to have the neighbors well vaccinated, I suppose.
That's how Mexico was feeling for a long time.
Guaymas has been doing second doses this week, and I haven't had my first, and so one of my friends suggested I go. Thursday's the last day. Suggested I go at 5 o'clock Thursday.
No.
And if they have any vaccine left over, since it's identical to the first dose, see if I can convince them to give me
But you haven't had a first one yet. Mexico's,
but it doesn't matter because they're
How's Mexico
exactly the same?
How Mexico's been doing it is the only people that are getting shots right now are the people getting their second dose. So they know exactly.
But the idea was they can't keep it after Thursday. They have no way to store it, apparently. And so Thursday at 5 o'clock, go in. If they have any spare doses, maybe they'll give me my first injection. But if not, I have a backup appointment in Tucson Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I was going to say the way they're doing it, I don't think they would be able to schedule the second dose. I mean, sure, absolutely, try and do it. It'd be interesting to see what happens. Because the way I understand the way things have been working is they need to be able to give you a second dose. So they have to have a plan for that.
Right.
And right now...
But when they do a first dose again, I'll just go get my second one because they're exactly the same.
But right now they don't have
the same chemical makeup.
Sure. But identical. Right now they don't have a plan for the first dose. Right now they don't have a date out there for the first dose for what they've told us.
I can always get a second one in the States when I'm up there sometime.
Yeah.
I just want to get at least one.
I know that I'm waiting until the middle of next month. That was the last word, was for my age group from 50 to 59 is going to be in the middle of May. And there is no specific date yet.
And it's really important
that your second
shot is the same as your first shot.
Right. Well, and you can wait.
It has to be the same.
The same manufacturer.
It doesn't matter the order because the first and second shots, yeah, they're exactly the same. I have something to send you, Scott, but
sure.
I want to make sure I remembered correctly.
Okay.
I think... Are you waiting for a second shot or your first?
No, my first. And that's what I'm saying is they haven't scheduled our first shots yet. So how do they deal with your second shot if they're giving away first shots?
Okay.
And I mean, if you've got the time, I'd be really curious to know how they deal with it. But I wouldn't be surprised if it falls apart just because of the way Mexico has everything scheduled.
I could go in and say I forgot to bring my card from my first shot. That's one option.
Yeah.
The other option is just to tell them the truth and tell them that I can't get in and I need it because my husband has. My husband's really he's in one of those dangerous categories.
I got it.
He won't even get the shot. His doctor told him not to.
Oh, well, I got to be fair. Actually, I get caught up in how Mexico's been dealing with this versus the way Mexico deals with situations that are unique. And in this case, they seem to be failing good. Like if you show up and you don't have all their data, they still will give you a shot. They'll figure out a way to give you a shot. That's what's been happening. And so you may just find that they would give you your first shot because they got to use like you said, they have to use the vaccination before it goes bad, and they just write out a card with your date on it and just say, you need a shot a minimum of 3 weeks from now. And then you could show up wherever saying, this is when I got the first shot. So I have to backtrack on that because they have been failing good.
Yeah, I made sure that they're going by alphabetical name, and I have some friends whose last name started with a B, and they waited 4.5 hours in the sun to get their second shot.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which location they went to, but they got it done.
My mother-in-law got hers done, but Yuya was telling me she met up with some folks there that had been waiting like that for a long period of time, and Yuya and her mom didn't have to wait that long. But people with that last name had to wait that long. I don't remember what letter or name it was. I just remember anecdotally the experience.
Well, we're still waiting for number one Friday.
Yeah, what's up with Canada? What's up with that?
Oh, well, we're having our biggest surge yet.
Wow, that's just amazing.
Yeah, we're in the same thing.
Is this one of the variations that's coming through now, or is this still the original surge?
No, we have the variants are out of control.
We've been waiting patiently for Santa Cruz County, Nogales, and finally got an email, I guess it was last week, end of last week. We're very sorry. You were next in line for your Johnson & Johnson, but it has been pulled, so you need to re-register.
Oh, no.
So that would have been nice to get a Johnson & Johnson, get it over. Now you can't get it.
Cheryl, what were you going to say there?
Anyway. You were talking about a surge in COVID infection. Right now, we are shut down as much as we've ever been, and the provincial There are some borders that are being manned, and you can't go between provinces, between states. Ontario, for sure. Ontario to its next one on either side. And in BC, where James lives, I'd like to hear more about it. James, have we been hearing that you have to stay within your own health authority. You're not supposed to travel outside of your own health authority. And then Bill saw something this morning about the ferries aren't taking any bookings for RV vehicles to go by mainland over to the island.
That's true. You have to have a pretty good reason to get an RV on the ferry these days. You can't just go over and say, I'm looking for fresh air.
To come to the island.
So, and then here on the island, it's... that's right. That's right. Because there is all the variants are on the island, and we're trying to keep them in the communities that they are, if nothing else, you know. But they're spread all over the place. We're staying to ourselves. Yeah, and on Friday, we get our vaccines. Our first,
Friday will be the first
ones. Pfizer's 3 blocks from home. Yay.
Yay.
For our first, yeah, for us. And it's because of my age, and Carolyn's in on my coattails, because you can bring your spouse.
I don't know if you guys are paying attention to our group chat, but Jim is adding Safeway, Walgreens. Walgreens was great for us, he says. Fries, if you're in the States. But I think in the States, yeah, there isn't a problem in the States. This is in Canada and Mexico. What a turnaround the United States has made in this respect. I mean, it's just a full 180.
I wonder how that happened. How did that happen?
It couldn't. Yeah, how did it? Couldn't happen? Be leadership, could it?
Scott, I was going to add, when we were talking about the states having surplus and the possibility of giving it to Canada and Mexico, it'll be nice to know that it probably won't come with preconditions on it either, like we have to bow down or something.
That's right. Leader. It doesn't need the president's signature on it. Sorry, Mom. Maybe.
Oh God, yeah.
What were you saying, Mom?
With this president, I don't think there's, you know, you aren't going to have to bow down to him. At least we haven't yet. I don't think we ever will. So that's good news.
I was going to say that at least with this, your guy as his current president, you don't have his name on all the vaccine vials either. Probably.
That's right. That's right.
More cards that go out that say you're welcome.
Yeah. Hey, I have run out of topics, except Jim did want to mention Pluto TV. If you guys aren't aware of, it's been an app and a service for a very long time. I think it's currently owned by Viacom CBS. But what they've been doing recently is a large catalog of real-time TV. And Pluto TV is available as an add-on to Kodi, but it's also available as a standalone application that you can load into your Android device. And it is free. It does advertising. In fact, here I'll read. It says, Pluto TV is your ticket to free TV. If you're tired of paying another monthly streaming bill, Pluto TV is one of the best free streaming services out there. The ad-supported service offers more than 250 live channels, as well as on-demand movies and TV shows. Oh, it's also available on an Amazon Stick, and I was thinking it was available as a Plex add-on as well, if I remember right.
And that's Pluto, like the cartoon character.
Or the planet, I think.
It's not a planet, I don't think, anymore, unless they just renamed it.
Downgraded.
Yeah. Well, Pluto TV was kind of a joke for a long time because what it would stream is it would stream web content. It would stream YouTube channels, but in a timeline and things like that. And it was just stuff you could go after on your own. You could have found and not very interesting stuff, but its most recent changes has turned it into a really powerful source of live TV. Lots of channels, lots of unknown channels, sports and tech and all kinds of stuff. So it's a great recommendation from Jim here.
Thanks, Jim.
Oh, here's what it looks like in the Google Play Store, Pluto TV. So this is just an app for your Android device.
Will it work on Macs?
That's a good question. It would work. I mean, right off the bat, it would work in a Kodi installation on a Macintosh. Is it compatible? It is in the iOS store, it looks like.
Oh, good.
Or in the, yeah, in the App Store. This is, so yeah, great. It looks like it's available there.
Great.
iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, Apple TV. It's on the Apple TV as an app. Perfect. That's great.
Perfect.
So that's a great recommendation. Thank you, Jim.
Well, we're talking Apple. What is your feelings about the A12 and the A14 chip that they're using?
The A12 and the A14?
Correct.
Well, the A14 is the latest chip up till this M1 chip. Like, I don't think they changed the A14 when they released the new M1 chip. I think they're just... The A12 has been around for a number of years now. It's the stock chip for the iPad. Both of them are awesome chips. It's just the A14 is insanely more modern. It's the one that you find in the iPad Pros. So if you're going to use an iPad for heavy lifting, you would definitely want the A14. But if your iPad use is really a consumption device, books, movies, then I always recommend that base iPad, and that comes with the A12. I recommend the base iPad just because of its price. It's bang for a buck. It's bang for the buck because it's a very sophisticated machine for very little money. As the iPad Pros start getting really expensive, but then you do have that A14 processor, and that is really video editing. That's Photoshop editing. That's using it as a music studio. It's architecture. It's those kinds of things in my mind, at least from the marketing.
The Air now has the 14.
Say that again?
The iPad Air has the A14.
Yeah.
The new Pros aren't out with the 14 yet. They're still running the 12s.
Are you certain? I thought it was the Pros that were running the 14s now. I thought that was the big bump.
Hop over to Apple real quick.
Pro. They're about, you know what's going on right now, Fred? This is a great topic that I forgot all about. Apple's announcing stuff as we speak right this moment today.
And I thought they weren't doing that until June.
Yeah, and then they had this surprise announcement.
Okay.
So they're supposed to be, in fact, now that I say that, I just heard that on a podcast. Apple announcement today. Apple announcements today. Yeah, people are following up 2 hours ago. T-minus 20 minutes until today's big event. So that was 2 hours ago. They must be done with the event. So I will be going back through that later this week and seeing what they announce. First ever special event of the year.
Garbage and recycling.
Spring Loaded is the name of it. It's an hour event. Yeah, it's already taken place.
Financially, but by the tons of atmospheric carbon removed by each investment. Our goal is to remove more than one.
So they may have look
in
at this.
Places, the back of iMac,
colored,
it's the first thing you'll see.
Colored iMacs.
That would bring a sense of joy to any space. Next, let's check out the striking side profile, where you really see the profound impact of
M1. That's a desktop computer. That's impressive.
iMac has moved closer to our vision, to make the computer disappear. And while we've had the same great design for several years, we haven't had the technology to take the next big step until now, because M1 has enabled us to get closer to that vision than ever before. For comparison,
well, that's not
let's
an M1X.
Take a look at the previous iMac.
Well, we won't waste too much time on this, but this is going on right now. They've got a whole new lineup coming out.
In typical use, iMac stays under 10 decibels, which is barely audible to the human ear. Together, these two components.
I'm getting sucked in. I need to turn it off. Look how thin that is. Oh my gosh.
The result is a design that's much more compact, and just 11.5 millimeters thin.
Look at that.
And with an even smaller footprint, it fits easily into many more spaces.
And they have financing, they say to Scott. You know we have financing.
So on the new iMac, we made the display an expansive 24 inches. By narrowing the borders,
all right, we fit the significantly bigger. Stopping it.
Scott, pull up.
It's like eating chocolate. You just got to cut yourself off.
Or run out, one of the two.
Oh, God, we saved his soul. We saved it.
I appreciate that, guys.
I will watch it later with envy. If only I had money to burn.
Put the web link up on the today's stuff.
Yeah, here, I'll stick it in the chat, and I'll also put it on today's. Sometimes I can't get the blog post out for a couple of days, so I like sharing it here in chat so you've got it. You're not waiting until Saturday when I finally get everything put together. Well, I think we're reaching the end of this meeting. I do have other work today that I have to get off to, but I can stick around a while longer if anybody has anything else they'd like to add to today's meeting. I thank you guys all for showing up.
Just need to ask you a question out of the club, Scott.
Okay. Well, why don't you hang back after we sign off and we'll have a conversation.
Okay, great.
All right. I have a question. Can we get through to Yuya on the site, or do we have to get a special way to get to Yuya?
Oh, well, you can reach her through email. Yeah, you can get to her through our website, internationalcs.net.
Great.
You can call her directly, too, on her cell phone. If you don't have any of that contact information, I can send it to you. But
all right. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Anyway, and I got to get going because Carolyn needs to go on another Zoom meeting.
Oh, all right. Well, Jim, glad you're here. We'll see you next week.
Sorry I was late. And Cheryl, you didn't get your haircut after all.
That was 12 years ago. You guys really need to pay attention to what was on.
I thought it looked so nice. But anyway.
No, yeah. Well, yeah, the face looks 12 years younger.
Well, maybe that's so. It. I thought that what a do. Anyway. So take it easy. See you later.
See you, Jim.
I want a makeover that year. So I want a makeover, and they dyed my hair and cut it short. And yes, I hated it, but other people are looking at it today. But it was a memory.
There you go.
Memories. Is that on Facebook right now? Now I need to go see Cheryl from 12 years ago.
That's right. That's right here.
Bye-bye. See you, Jim. Anybody else?
I got a question for you.
Sure, Bill. Go ahead.
Well, you post these things on the chat, but as soon as how do we get back to them if we just want to get onto the chat?
You can't. You got to take a moment and just pull them up and make your own notes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought there, like I have to.
Sorry, Jim. Go ahead, Bill.
I thought I had to open them up. I thought they disappeared as soon as the club shut down.
Yeah.
I usually open up any links and I leave it open so after the meeting I can find them and either save them or read them or whatever.
That's exactly what I've done here.
That's exactly what I do as well. And actually, you know, in that respect, I've got one more recommendation before we go. If you haven't seen Session Buddy is a plugin for a Chrome web browser that allows you to do something like open up a bunch of tabs and then save them.
Oh.
So you could have a dozen tabs open in Chrome and go, well, I can't read all these right now. And you go to Session Buddy, it sees your tabbed full browser and allows you to save that so you can come back to it later. In fact,
an extension?
It's a plugin for Chrome. In fact, here, I'll put it on my screen right now.
It work for Opera?
It does. I think it's a different it goes through the Opera extensions, but yeah. So I mean, here I am with a bunch of tabs across the top here. It doesn't matter what they are. I'm just going to use it. And here in Chrome, you get this extension icon in your toolbar. And I'm just going to go down here and go to Session Buddy, which I already have installed. And this is what Session Buddy looks like. And it shows me right off the current window. and has all these tabs. And now I can just choose to save that. You see the save button up there? And I can give it a name if I want. This is, I don't know, this is April 20th Club tab. And I save it. Yeah, the 420 Club. Hey, we've got a title for today's episode. It's the 420 Club.
So wait a minute. I'm on Google Chrome. And where did you say this add-on thing is on my bar?
Oh, well, it needs to be added. You need to add this extension icon right here. When you have extensions installed, then this button appears, this on your bar.
So I have Session Buddy installed.
Oh, great. There you go. We've probably talked about it before.
Yeah, and I'm going to save it right now, and it's give it a name, 420. There we go. Thank you. Because when I'm doing my shopping, I often have a bunch of windows open, and so I would really like to keep that.
Yes. Yeah. I find it very valuable because I've had to get myself out of the habit of just shutting down a bunch of tabs to start something else up. So now I keep tabs open all the time. The problem is that you start using a lot of computer resources, leaving that stuff in memory. And so Session Buddy allows you to get it out of memory without losing all that organization.
And when we do the, it's either Glary or Sea Cleaner or whatever, it deletes all those kind of things when it keeps them clean. But I just found it was 10 months ago that we talked about it because I saved a Goob session that day.
There you go.
Because it says saved sessions and saved 10 months ago. There's 9 tabs and it's about and support.
Okay, Scott.
Yes, sir.
I went to my extensions on Opera down to manage extensions, searched for Sessions Buddy, and I didn't find it.
On Opera, give me a second.
Wait a minute.
You need to get into whatever their store is. And I apologize.
Well,
I just don't
manage extensions.
Yeah, is there a link there to get new extensions? I'm bringing up Opera right now.
Well, I
because that's oh, what okay. If you don't already have it, then you're going to have to get it.
Well, I've added extensions before to Opera.
I'm right where you are now. I've gone into the extension on Opera. It looks like a cube, the extensions, and then there's manage extensions. Come on. And get more extensions is where you want to go. And that will take you to the Opera extension store. addons.opera.com/en/extensions. And there's got to be a Session Buddy in here because these are all based on Chrome now.
Yeah. Okay, I'm back to my extensions.
So
manage extensions? Oh, get more extensions. I got it. Yeah. I got it. Found it.
Here I am right now looking for it. Session Buddy. No, it doesn't come up under, did I spell it right? No, session. I plural. No.
It's session. One in session. Singular?
Session Buddy is the name of it, I guess. Session Buddy. So okay. Now, if it isn't here in the Opera store, haven't found what you need, download the Chrome extensions and check out the Chrome web store. I've done this as well. There's an extension that allows you to run Chrome extensions, and so you could install that and then install Session Buddy from the Chrome store.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, here, install Chrome extensions. This is an extension for Opera to allow you to install Chrome extensions, and then you can go and install Chrome.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Lunchtime.
And on that note, we will say, until next week, tech on. You guys have an awesome week. Thanks for being here. Bye, Fred.
You owe me a caricature.
A caricature. That's right. And I did forget. I did absolutely forget.
Oh, sure. As soon as he got his power back, he forgets everything. Yeah, right.
All right, Bill.
There. Check it out.
Oh, awesome. Where'd you get that done?
In San Carlos.
Our first trip to San Carlos, there was an art market that they were doing a fundraiser for Castaway Kids.
Yeah.
And the artist, Susan, I can't read her last name, anyways, she was doing portraits, and you had to make a 100 peso donation. So we got that for 100 pesos, and it was really good. The next time we saw her was a year later, and the one that she did that time, it's not as good. It's darker, and Bill's beard looks like it's black. And, yeah, but that's a pencil drawing.
All right, Cheryl. Well, we'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye bye.
Adios.
Thanks for all the good ideas, Sandy.
Well, this has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm looking for there I am. This is Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions saying, if you need help out there on the internet, I'd appreciate it if you gave me a shot. It's scott@international.cs.net. Look for our website. And if you're interested in any of these meetings, the San Carlos Computer Club, everyone's welcome to join us. We love all tech enthusiasts. And you can find out about our club at sccclub.org or look for us on those social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so on. Until next week, tech on.